All right, let's go.
Well, hello everyone. It's Raj the Ripsaw coming to you with Ripsaw's Pond Hockey, and I'm sorry it took so long to enlighten everyone, but just want to make it right on me, personal, and of course, we're in the middle of the night, just getting ready for West Coast time. Feels right. Gonna talk some hockey here to put you to bed. Anyway, let's talk with or about the Chicago Blackhawks Detroit Red Wings game where they retired Chris Chelios's number seven, a Blackhawks legend, and unfortunately, he never won a Stanley Cup in Chicago. Gets traded to Detroit or signs with Detroit, and wins a couple cups over there. Chelios is one of the all-time greatest defensemen ever, and it was long. It should never have taken that long to retire number seven in the rafters of the United Center, in my opinion. But the atmosphere of that game was just like a playoff game because we know the Blackhawks are not going to go to the playoffs. But wow, that was a really amazing game. Even Connor Bedard had a good body check on Patrick Kane in that game where it threw him off balance. However, the hero of the night was number 88, Patrick Kane, scoring a game-winning goal. And the call on that, the Red Wings broadcast, was just out of this world. Kaner putting the dagger in the hearts of the Blackhawks faithful. I mean, he got booed, right off the bat because, he's wearing a Red Wings jersey, and that's a heated rival. But after that, and like he came back on the ice and, tapped his heart and, gave it up to everybody in the fans. And listen, Patrick Kane's going to be, he's going to have his 88 retired with the Blackhawks, I think when he's done with his playing career, there's no doubt in my mind he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. There's no doubt in my mind. But I'm really intrigued to see this run with the Red Wings he has. And even with his linemate, Alex DeBrincat, I mean, it's pretty special. It's fun to see Kane playing the way he is. It's reminding me of the old Patrick Kane, and I think the Rangers wanted that with him, yet they didn't get that. And I think, when he was with the Rangers, Patrick Kane was playing hurt, and I think he was trying to hide it because, he wanted to show them that I'm still the guy, one of the premier guys in the league. Credit to Steve Yzerman for grabbing this guy like he did to help build young team he's trying to build. I mean, I think the Red Wings hitting the playoffs or making the push for the playoffs is good for hockey. I think they're going to make, as a wild card team, I don't think they're going to win a playoff round, but I still think they're going to, show that they're here. And another thing that I want to also mention too is for a team in the NHL, in today's NHL, to get to be a contender, and to say, I'm going to win a few playoff rounds, I'm going to get to, a final, it's going to take you 10 years. But the other big thing is you got to hit on some of those draft picks that are, given to you in the lottery. Las Vegas, they've been given that golden plate, by Gary Bettman, which is just, you won't convince me otherwise of that. I felt Seattle was given not as much as Las Vegas, but now the next golden child, I think, is Chicago. I mean, yes, you drafted Connor Bedard, and Bedard's a special talent, but I see that coming even in the next year, too, where Chicago's going to get the special, gimmies because we got to have the Blackhawks there and whatever. And when the Blackhawks had their Stanley Cup runs, they were a great team. but I feel like they're pushing an agenda on this, and I don't care for it. I mean, let's push the Red Wings to get back to being great. You know, it makes hockey good, you know. Talk about another original six team, you know, the Rangers. I think the Rangers are good enough to really win the East. I think the really only competition is Boston, but we need to talk about this kid, Matt Rempe. In the past couple weeks, he's been really making some noise, and not so much in the goal-scoring department, but in the tough guy department. He's got one goal, one assist, 12 hits, four fights, 32 penalty minutes, and he's a plus two. I mean, okay. The guy's massive when you look at him on the ice. He's a miniature Zdeno Chara. The last tough guy I remember for the Rangers was Sean Avery. And Sean Avery was nothing like Matt Rempe. So, yeah, he's getting into some scraps. So let's fast forward to last week in old Scotia Bank Center in Toronto, where we have Matt Reeves playing for Leafs, and he is the KG vet, you know, made his name as being a tough guy in a rough and tough presence. And early in the game, he's, you know, wanting to say, let's throw it down, let's do it. And Rempe skates away. He's like, no, I'm not going to do it. Meanwhile, he's got like double black eyes and such. So game goes on. And then of course we got our wish. It was Reeves and Rempe fighting, and Reeves just went to town and just, you know, took Rempe out. I mean, it was a lot, and so much so that, Ryan Reeves saying, I was jacked up till about 6:30 a.m. the next morning after that fight. But he also said that he came into the league, he's going to, you know, make a name for himself just like I did. And, you know, like him or hate him, the guy doesn't want to go back down to the AHL. So he's going to do everything he can to stay up with the big club. I don't see this being a bad thing for Rangers, because they're going to need that grip. They're going to need that toughness going into the playoffs. So 50-50 on the guy. You love him or you hate him. But if you love him, you love the way that he plays. It's a throwback type of guy. He's not going to score many goals, people. Just accept that. But if you are of the throwback style, you're going to love that, what he brings to the game. And it's going to, you know, show teams that you're not going to mess around with the Rangers. So good on that. Let's talk about some other stuff. You know, there was a lot that was been going on that, you know, I wanted to bring to y'all, and we're going to just jam pack it in our little pond hockey episode. Elias Pettersson with Vancouver Canucks, their best player. He signs a multi-year contract. I'm going to break this down. Okay. Now, granted, I out in the world, we're going to see this type of cash, and that's what it is. Some people were just blessed with extreme talent, and that's what it is. So year one of Elias Pettersson's contract, he gets 2.5 mil. That's in 24-25. 25-26, he gets 4.5 mil. In 26-27, here's the big one, 11 mil. Okay? 27-28, we're going to take a step down now. We're going to go at 9.45 mil. Then in 28-29, we're going to drop back down to 7.25 mil. In 2030, he's going to make 3.7 mil. 2030-2031, he's going to make the same amount of money, 3.7 mil. And then the last year of his contract at 2031-2032, he's going to make 3.7 mil. His signing bonuses per year was 12 million. $10 million, and then $5 million. So, well, if you want to say we're in the wrong profession, wherever our calling is, stay with it. But this young man is talented, and he's getting paid. What helps the Vancouver Canucks immediately is year one, year two on this deal. The biggest worry for the Canucks was they were going to lose their star player. The Canadian dollar competing with the U.S. dollar is not easy. So this was a big thing for them to do, and I think it was the right thing for them to do because, you know, the Canucks need this. For the Vancouver Canucks to be back up on top in the Western Conference is massive. And I also think they've got a very narrow window to really make a run at the Stanley Cup. So for in year three is the big hit. I think by that point, they're going to have to make some moves to offset the cost of the Pettersson contract. Okay. So let's go to another guy here. Let's go to Elias Lindholm. Elias Lindholm, he gets traded from the Calgary Flames. I don't think there was a bad move for the Canucks as to adding depth, saying, hey, we're 2 feet in, we're doing this now. What I didn't like was what they sent away. Calgary sent Andrei Kuzmenko. They sent their first round and their fourth round pick in 24, and defensive prospects Hunter Brunswick and Yoni Yermo. I just think they sent way too much on the other side back for this deal. Elias Lindholm is a second line forward, and you're basically sending four dudes over to Calgary's way for one guy. That's way too much to give up for a guy that you're making the Stanley Cup run for. Okay. Now let's going to stay on the Calgary train for a second. Okay. Calgary also sent Chris Tanev, one of the defensemen, to the Dallas Stars. They made a three-way trade. They sent Artem Krushchenkov and the Stars' second pick in 24 and a conditional third-round pick in the 2026 draft. If the Stars do not advance to the 24 Stanley Cup final, the Flames will not receive the third-round pick. Also in this trade was the New Jersey Devils. They received Dallas's fourth round pick in the 26th draft for Chris Tanev. I like Chris Tanev. He's a solid guy to have come playoff time. He's not a number one or a number two defenseman. He is a depth playoff type guy that you want on your team. I look at Tanev to be in the battle of, like, say, a Dallas-Edmonton series where he could be on either team and benefit them big time. Kudos to the Dallas Stars for getting the guy that they needed to shore up a position. But look at what Calgary's gained. Calgary's gained numerous draft capital and Andrei Kuzmenko to help their team moving forward. Okay, and we're just talking with two deals immediately. Let's talk a little, let's still stay on the Calgary train, y'all. Okay, Calgary Flames also had a game on Saturday night where they retired Mika Kiprusov, their goaltender in the 2000s, who was probably, we can argue two sides of the point. We can argue that Mika Kiprusov was probably the greatest Calgary Flames goaltender of all time. However, Kiprusov did not win the Stanley Cup with them, and Mike Vernon did. Both great talent. We're going to debate this at, you know, totally different time. If you want me to debate it, you know, put it up in the comments. But to me, you know, watching the Flames in the 2000s, Mika Kiprusov was the guy that was, always in the nets and was consistent, was good for the 9 years he was there. And for about most of his tenure, he didn't have anything more than, I'd say, 2.5 goals against. That's massive. And when you look at his stats, other than his first year with the Flames and the year he retired with the Flames, he played no less than 70 games. We're playing 82-game schedule. No goaltender, I think, in previous or today, has pulled that off. Maybe like Dominic Hasek, because I know the Sabres, played the heck out of him. But, I mean, Mikko Kiprusoff was consistent. And just the saves he made is, paddle saves and just, it was incredible. He kept the Flames in games. I hated it for him when they lost to Tampa in 04, because, I mean, that Calgary team was just unbelievable. We also talk, Jerome McGinley, but we don't talk enough about Mikko Kiprusoff and his acrobatics and what he meant to that team in that city. So in that same game, Nazem Kadri had an incredible goal. I wish I had the YouTube footage to show y'all, but if you know, you know. I don't think Nazem Kadri's going anywhere in Calgary. I think he's staying. I honestly, hopefully, I'm hoping that the Calgary Flames get back into the mix for Western Conference hockey. I think with them being there, it makes the West so much more competitive. Okay. Let's get into the big one, NHL trade deadline. Like, we're all waiting. Like, it's coming. I was said it on the last podcast, but it's coming up Friday, everybody. We talked about the Tanev deal. We talked about Lindholm deal. Today, Anthony Mantha gets traded to Las Vegas, for a couple of draft picks, whatever. Good for Vegas. They need some help bad. They're not the big bad team that everybody thought they were, and they're making some moves. Matt is going to help out Vegas. Looking at some of these guys, Jake Guentzel, I think he's going to be on the move. Where? Not sure. He's going to go to a contender. He's left winger. I think he's going to go to a team that's going to contribute and contribute immediately. I think Noah Hanifin from Calgary, he's going to be on the move, dumping off some salary. Who doesn't want a defenseman? I think this is a great move for, any team to get, a guy that's probably, could fit in your top four. Vladimir Tarasenko, he hasn't been the same since he's left St. Louis. Is it situation? Yeah, I think so. But still, Vladimir Tarasenko on a team. The Rangers got him, okay? Let's not forget that. The Rangers says, we're going to take a pitch at him. So even if he's on your second line or your third line, it's going to make your team better. And he's hopefully he's going to provide that spark you need come the playoffs. Jacob Markstrom. I don't think Jacob Markstrom is going to be with the Calgary Flames after the trade deadline. I've loved him since he was with Vancouver. He goes to Calgary, and he's got probably one of the best masks out there with the Johnny Cash on each side. Shout out to Rayman for sending me that. I mean, it's just incredible. I love it. Jacob Markstrom's going to be on a team that's got you're going to need him in the Nets. I would love the Leafs to get him. I think if you sent Samsonov to Calgary for Jacob Markstrom, and we go with Joseph Woll and Jacob Markstrom, chef's kiss, beautiful. But I don't know. I could also see in a world that the Philadelphia Flyers could go for Jacob Markstrom, because with losing Carter Hart to long-term leave of absence, they need a solid number one goaltender. And I'm sorry, yes, I understand they're in the middle of making a playoff push to building for the future. But put Jacob Markstrom in your lineup. Put him in any team just about. He makes your team better. Even if you split your time with your goaltenders, which both teams are doing, I like that trade. I do it. Sean Walker, okay. Shout out to one of my buddies in Louisiana who just keeps trying to feed me. Hey, the Leafs are going to go for Sean Walker and they're going to give up a first-round pick. No, they're not. The Leafs are not going to drop a first-round pick for Sean Walker. Why would you do that? Because the last time the Leafs had a number one pick was for Austin Matthews. So I just don't see it happening. And I'm sorry, but I'm not biting on it. I'm not. Yes, the Leafs got Lyubushkin from Anaheim. That's a depth position, whatever. Do I think the Leafs need better defense? Yes, especially with Mark Giordano going down. I just don't see them selling a number one pick for Sean Walker. And especially if you've got a pick where you can draft a guy coming up this year, I'm not doing it. Plus, they're in cap hell. You got Matthews, Marner, Morgan Riley, and John Tavares contracts. I don't see them doing it. Anthony Duclair. I think this guy is either going to Vancouver or Winnipeg. This guy is a depth player that's going to help get your team to a conference final or a Stanley Cup. He's been an agitating player, but plays great. I think in San Jose, I understand what you bring a veteran type guy into your system to try to jumpstart things. I don't see him staying there after the trade deadline. I see them making a move to get some picks. In both teams, it would make sense for a low risk, type grab. If you have it in there, and it's especially we didn't talk much about Winnipeg. I think they're the second best team in the Western Conference, and I think they make this move for more depth than what they already have. So Alex Carrier in Nashville, interesting. He can contribute on just about any team that's going to make a run. But Nashville's also like in the Philadelphia Flyers situation. They're right in the middle out in the West where they can get in a wild card spot. But they're also trying to build it to where they're going to be better for the future. So do you go trade them away and say, not this year, guys, or you keep them and build, around them? Another guy in Nashville too is UC Saros too, where he's lost the starting job, but still, he's the 1B to a Jacob Markstrom, where I think he's still going to contribute to team. But again, is what are you going to give up for him to make that push that what you need? Could it be Colorado that makes that type of pitch? Because you got Horiev, and really behind him, you got nobody. So, in Colorado's, I think, the fourth best team in the West. So, Jacob Chychrun in Ottawa, I think that experiment's over. I've heard this name for years, for at least 2 to 3 years. When it was in Arizona, and I'm just like, what am I waiting for? What are we waiting for? I don't think it's worth the reward. I mean, is he at this point a depth defenseman? Sure. I mean, Shane Gostisbehere in Detroit's, playing well. But, I mean, you have to turn into any team. I just think he's more of a depth defenseman than he is your number one, number two defenseman. That's just my opinion. I've been wrong before, but I'm not seeing it. I'm sorry. Michael Granlund, also down in San Jose, he's an NHL journeyman, but he's also a playoff contributor, a guy that I think couldn't see getting traded by the before the deadline and performing. Riley Smith's another guy too. I just don't think his fit in Pittsburgh is going to, you know, has been good. He's going to get traded before the deadline. You know, could he go back to Vegas? Sure. Familiar situation, contribute automatically. You know, it would make sense. Jordan Eberle. I like Jordan Eberle back when he was with the Edmonton Oilers in the first go around. Your buddy Coot, you know, Jordan Eberle, he knows him from, you know, the Islander days, but I knew him from the Oiler days. So I think he's going to be definitely on the move from Seattle. And Seattle, for them to make that, if they trade away Jordan Eberle, they're getting picks back to replenish, you know, in their system, and they're just going to get better too. You know, name that just came up tonight, Jason Zucker, he sat out tonight. I'm pretty confident if you got a guy that sits out, you're working on a deal and he's going to get traded. Zucker's going to be another type of playoff contributor, low risk type of contract. So I think that works out for them. There's three guys that I can tell you are not on the move, that are not going anywhere. And it's just dumbness to hear the names and the scenarios. Number one is Sidney Crosby. He's not going anywhere. I've heard, oh, send him to a contender to win another Stanley Cup. Yeah, we can send him to Colorado. We can send him to Boston. Come on, people. He's won Stanley Cups in Pittsburgh. He's Pittsburgh royalty. He's going to retire a Pittsburgh Penguin. They're going to enact the statue, you know, at whatever the arena is called now. It's not Mellon Arena, but or PPG Arena. I'm sorry. Come on, people. Sidney Crosby is going to be a Pittsburgh legend. He already is, and he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's not getting traded away from the Pittsburgh Penguins. This is not a Ray Bourque situation where he didn't win a Stanley Cup. Oh, come on. I also don't see Marc-Andre Fleury getting traded away from the Minnesota Wild. They want to keep him. And to be honest with you, I love the fact that they're committing to him because he's a solid goaltender. No matter he don't necessarily have to be the starter, but he's good enough to still be a starting goaltender in the league. Much respect to him in the Minnesota Wild organization for just stepping up on that one. So that's my take on that stuff. We're going to talk a little bit about some college hockey. Michigan beat Minnesota, 8th-ranked Minnesota, over the weekend on Saturday night. Michigan was ranked, I think, as far as 14th or 17th in the nation. That's a big win for them. I don't think it affects Minnesota as much as in the rankings. But what I do see, in my opinion, when we talk about the Frozen Four, I think one of the teams that we're not talking enough about is North Dakota. I think North Dakota can pretty much win this thing. We don't talk a lot about college hockey in the podcast, but, you know, you check into CBS Sports Network, check into Big Ten Network, you know, they're playing some really solid, you know, puck. Do I think Quinnipiac's going to be back as a national champs? No. I think they're good enough to be in the tournament, but there's something about this North Dakota team I think is pretty special. So pay attention to that when we get into the Frozen Four. Another name I want to throw out there that, you know, people were bagging on early on in the year for hockey was Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. I remember having a conversation with a fella, and he's like, "You're crazy. You're smoking something. He's not the goaltender of the future for the Sabres." Well, because everybody thought it was Devon Levi. Yet, who's been, you know, the guy that's been between the pipes since January that's been helping the Sabres to where they're at right now is Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. I love to see what he's doing with them. And I hope that the Sabres keep both guys because, again, in today's league, you need a 1-2 system. You just can't have, you know, a true number one that's like we talked about earlier with Mika Kiprusoff is playing 70-plus games a year. In today's league, that just doesn't happen. So that's it for what I have for everybody. I hope you like our take on NHL segment. We're going to probably do another one. We're going to have to trade deadline on Friday. But thank you, everybody, for tuning in, listening. Comment things you want to see here. And I've always smacked that like button. Everybody, have yourselves a good night.